This podcast is rated E for explicit.
When you wish upon a star and you're granted a man who meets you where you are.
What a fox.
Except you wonder if you missed a step. Or did your fairy godmother forget to grant you a man that can pick up a check?
In my lifetime, I have never had a 50-50 anything.
Well, we found ourselves kept in the loop of a conversation, apparently being had around the nation.
We hang out, he's great.
On what happens in some...
I am more productive at work.
...situations.
Mm-hmm. I'm more productive at everything that I'm doing.
When you've been swept by a man
6 months later,
taking you all the way to cloud nine.
He is a wonderful human being, and he has made me exponentially happier.
But not too fast.
He doesn't have such a great job.
Because he can't pay the fine.
I'm not talking like $10,000 difference. I'm talking about somebody making $100,000.
He can't.
Somebody making $30.
Pay the dine.
These are the things that I need you to do in order to continue to be this person.
He can't pay the wine.
Love is its own separate thing. And if you're comfortable with that, then his financial status shouldn't even matter.
But in the bedroom, he scores.
I mean, if you're not taking care of nothing
all the time,
then you need to be taking care of something. And that something needs to be me. Right.
And from your heart, he blows your mind.
Oh, you're going to sex me whenever I want.
From the start, he's sweet and he's kind. But the bills.
Find a partner that's going to be there for you.
Are never paid on time.
Minus work. Worrying about what their checkbook looks like.
So the question lingers yet.
And he could have been a kept man, but he wasn't good enough to be a kept man.
What is it worth to you?
A lot of people are broken coming into relationships.
To have a kept man.
If you want to drive me around 100% of the time.
On deck.
You can be kept in my house. Trust me.
You met me in the midst of many things. Shedding skin, sprout wings, looking at life as a spiritual being through a human lens, having conversations with God about so many things. This show is your invitation. The poet God is the conversation.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how important is it to you that your partner makes enough money to cover 50% or more of the household expenses? If your answer is somewhere between 7 and 10, that's probably higher than Tyler Perry would recommend.
Listen, a lot of women, especially black women, and I might get in trouble for saying this, but I will.
In an interview with Crystal Hazlett, Tyler sparked a debate about the importance placed on financial inequality in a relationship, especially in cases where the man isn't the breadwinner.
In our society right now, black women are making a lot more money for the most part than black men, right? There are a lot of black men who are successful, but for the most part, black women are making the money. So if you can find love, if that man works, you know, at whatever job and is a good man and is good to you and honors the house and honors his wife and does what he can because his gift may not be your gift.
Exactly.
That is okay. That's not somebody who's beneath you.
Yeah.
That's somebody who came to love you at your worth. Right?
Yes.
And as long as he's secure in himself to know that, yep, she makes most of the money. All I can pay is the light bill. As long as she's comfortable enough to say, I'm going to cover the mortgage and all the other stuff. You can handle the light bill, babe. You can take me to dinner every now and then. That is fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But that's so hard for a lot of people to take in because that means, no, I need somebody to was they need to make 5 times more, and I got to have well, keep your list, baby.
Yeah.
God bless you. Hope it happens. Go and keep your list. But when you talk about just someone to love you and support you, I know people who have whose men can't touch what they make.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But when you see them together, that love, that support, that I got you, babe, it's a beautiful thing.
While Tyler's message resonated with many women, many others felt differently. Here's what popular TikTok blogger Iman Europe had to say.
Once again, I am in my black apartment minding my black business. And I wake up to find out I'm on baller alert because of Tyler Perry. So let's go ahead and break this down real quick.
Yep, she makes most of the money. All I can pay is the light bill. As long as she's comfortable enough to say, I'm going to cover the mortgage and all the other stuff. You can handle the light bill, babe. You can take me to dinner every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
That is fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's fine. You know, it's not fine, Mr. Perry. It's not fine that with your big black platform, you decided to get up on that couch and try to convince and condition black women to be okay with less instead of encouraging black men to do more. You know what else ain't fine? That you are a black man that went from being homeless to owning BET. What an inspiration you are. And instead of saying, black men, you could do it too, you said black women, y'all better pay that mortgage and be okay with him paying that light bill. And I just really want to understand, why is the message always black women get used to less instead of black men do more, even from the black men who have done more? Now, of course, there are situations where this setup makes sense, where the woman might be the higher earner, but the man is still working, he's still striving, he's still showing effort, he's not complacent. Like, he probably don't got it all right now, but he's getting it, and whatever he's getting makes him satisfied. And that's the very rare secure situation that he's speaking of. But what I've seen more times than not is that men who do not have their money together are insufferable creatures. Like unhappy and uncomfortable when they're unable to provide. And that uncomfortability within themselves begins to seep into the relationship. And that ego starts getting beat up. And so that's why I say the messaging needs to change. Don't talk to black women. We gonna love regardless. Our love is abundant. We gonna love whoever we wanna love anyway. But the help we need, Mr. Perry, we need adequate counterparts. Both financially and emotionally.
Nigga, stop lying.
All that shit was just a motherfucking lie. And she knows it. And that's why she got her ass on this video talking this stupid shit.
So obviously, opinions continue to be very strong on this issue. But what did you expect? Let's dive in to picking up the check with a kept man on deck.
I mean, she did just talk in a circle.
Yeah, exactly. Because first of all, there are already enough messages out there talking about black men do more.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, that wasn't even his message.
Right.
His message was about love, not about accepting.
Mm-hmm.
It's about accepting the love and the financial situation that you have.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you're supposed to go find this inconsiderate ass that just wants to sit on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she's talking about.
Mm. Right. But you have to understand.
I'm going to be Diplo's advocate, but is love enough?
But that's the thing. If you're going for love, I'm not telling you that. So let's be real. A lot of people say divorces happen because of finances. Like the number one reason for people splitting is finance. There's a multitude of things, right? But I think that even when you look at society, because society still pushes this narrative that men are supposed to be the head of the household, right? So if you're coming into that and feeling that way, which I can attest to with what she's saying with this whole ego thing, if your ego is, I'm supposed to be the one to finance these things, but my woman is doing it, that's where you can have a problem. And that's where an issue of finance can be a bigger deal, because I expect to pay these bills, but you're doing it. So now I feel less than.
Mm.
And in turn, I'm going to put that on you.
Exactly.
Yep.
But if you can separate that, you can deal with it, right? There was one thing, this was a while ago, but there was something that I had heard, like when you're in a relationship, in a partnership, in a marriage or whatever the case is, you're not going to be 100% yourself every day. the reason why you have a partner. You guys are a team. You're going to be working together. There's going to be a day you have 80, and if I can make up that 20, we're good, right? And that 80 might deal with you paying the bills. But if my 20 can be like, hey, I know you're working hard, I'm going to clean the house for you while you're doing all this work. We're still coming together and getting the job done. And I just think that people have to have that better understanding of that balance. It doesn't matter. The way that we work together is not how you have to work together mm-hmm. or you have to work together. It is just, we are this team. We know what works best for us. And that's how we're going to do it.
I think Michelle Obama was trying to make a similar point where she was saying that it's similar to what you just said. It's not always 50-50.
Right.
And in fact, I think she was like, it's never 50.
Right.
50 because 50-50.
Right. It changes depending on...
It changes daily.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Situation.
The situation.
I mean, in my lifetime, mm-hmm. I have never had a 50-50 anything. It's always give and take. And that scale slides as far as 20 to 100% sometimes. Because what if your partner's sick?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's 100% you doing every damn thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that you're right. We have to take into consideration that those percentages are not realistic to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think being Black adds a whole nother layer to that because we are always keeping just a little something over here for ourselves
mm-hmm.
because that's what we were taught.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you put someone over here just in case that situation don't go right. So we are never 100% all in anyway.
And right. that bothers me.
Just
that
does.
Mindset of you gonna fuck up, so I'm gonna be ready for you when you do. I mean, I don't know. It, something about that just never sit right. I get the reason why people say that, but going in,
yeah,
with that mindset, that doesn't feel right.
It's a crazy mindset, and it's one I've never gone into. Like, for instance, a relationship is supposed to be built on trust. When I go into a relationship and we get there, first of all, I've scrutinized you. I've investigated you. I've done pretty much everything, but, you know, put out an APB and figure out, you know, what's happened in your past. So everything that I have is at your fingertips, even my money, because basically that is trusting you. Now, the moment you mess that up, I'm taking that back, but I'm starting with an open book with every person that I'm invested in, that I'm investing into. And if you don't, that's the problem.
Right.
Squirreling away something over here just because it, you know, that's not protecting me. That's hurting the relationship. Because
right.
basically,
right.
now I have something you don't know about.
Right.
Why?
Right.
I should know everything. I'm your partner.
Mm-hmm.
If you go down, how can I help you if I don't know what you're doing in the background?
Right.
And what does that say to the other person when they find out about your secret whatever?
That right. part.
That loses their trust.
And now you've got a whole new situation.
Right.
But a part of things too, I think we're talking about these relationships and some of the things that we're saying, I think the things that we're saying is people are coming in whole, not hurt, not broken. And sometimes I think they're bringing in, when they come together, these things about themselves, which they may or may not have shared or shown to us. Part of the chameleon thing that they try to show. I think sometimes they are not truthful with themselves of who or what they are. And I think it creates a situation when they're not fully honest with themselves. They can't be fully honest with you on the emotional side or whatever is going on with themselves too, from that level. And then I think when we take it to other levels is that if you can't even handle the emotional honesty, what else can I give you or feel comfortable that you're going to give me without you holding back,
right?
Mm-hmm. I was having a similar conversation with an ex about that same thing that you just said, because it's like if we cannot have an intellectual conversation or emotional conversation without you being triggered, and that's my fear with you, then what are we doing?
Mm. Well, you can't communicate, so you're not doing anything. Because I'm scared to talk to you.
And so it goes back to say, you gotta fix, heal, whatever before you.
And yeah. That's the thing. A lot of people are broken
mm-hmm.
coming into relationships And so, first of all, they may not feel that they're broken. That's one thing. That could be one thing. That in itself is a whole other situation where they can't even see themselves. Other people are seeing it in them, but they can't even see them in themselves or willing to be open or vulnerable. I was listening to this, Brene Brown. Thank you.
Yeah.
She was talking about vulnerability. And that's one of the things that she was focusing on is like, we sometimes put vulnerability as a weakness, mm-hmm. or feel that people who are vulnerable, that's just something that's very negative. And as leaders can't be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And she was saying how that is such a cop out because we don't realize how that in itself, you're creating space for other people to come in. But if you don't want to be vulnerable, you're fearful for whatever reason, it creates problems.
I like her statement on it too, because she also talks about just how much courage it takes for you to be vulnerable. Imagine to step up and say, you know, I can't do this, right? I know this is the expectation that you have at me. I can't do this, but I'm willing to work hard to do it. Most people would be like, yeah, I can do it. Because of that fear of sharing that information, instead of coming truthful and honest, where that other person can meet you where you are. Hey, you can't do it. No worries. Let me show you and let me help you how to get there.
So. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's a survival mindset that the Black women who have been triggered by Tyler Perry's statement, do you think that's why?
I think it's, honestly, from my perspective, I think it's as women think about things, we've done enough mm-hmm. to carry this society.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I have to sacrifice even more? And I think that that's where that comes from. Because I think about my mom, you know, she was a single mom. I mean, a single parent raising two children in Chicago. And there were a lot of things that she would, you know, compromise on. But there were very few men that she would consider because of that.
Mm.
And I think it's that in general, that women of today have taken such a hold of. It's like, I've given so much. How can you ask me to give more?
Mm-hmm.
But in what Tyler Perry said, I don't think it's giving more. I think that they're missing the point of what he's saying because it's defensiveness. I can't even hear you right now because
mm-hmm.
I've given too much. So what you're saying is falling on deaf ears because she totally missed the point.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Think about it. She didn't address not one thing that he actually said. She went straight into talking about what Black men are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're the problem. She has highlighted that in her statement and she's sticking to it. And again, never addressed any of the real points that he was talking about, which was simply love is its own separate thing. And if you're comfortable with that, then his financial status shouldn't even matter. Which is the truth. Because mm-hmm. think about it. You got the one thing most of us want. But because he's not financially where you want him to be, you can toss his ass out,
right.
Roll the dice, and now you're going to get somebody way less. Now you're going to get a cheater.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to get a couch potato. Now you're going to get possibly somebody who just doesn't even see you at all.
Mm-hmm.
A user.
Mm-hmm.
You're opening, it's like rolling the dice. You could get anything. And that is what he was talking about. Not, oh, you should accept any old Black man.
Right.
That wasn't what he said.
Right.
It wasn't his statement at all. He just highlighted that you shouldn't rely heavily on this financial factor, that there are so many other things to having a loving partner versus just finances.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as one of the points where Black women are making more money than what they did decades ago. You know, it is literally just saying, hey, find a partner that's going to be there for you, minus worrying about what their checkbook looks like. And I agree with you. I don't think that she heard that. I think what she heard, as you said, was give more.
Right.
But the truth of it is it may be giving more in finance, but now taking away these other things. So if even let's say hypothetically the situation that you're saying, let's say you are a single parent. Now you've met a partner that maybe he's not making as much money as you, but now he takes your kids and picks them up from school every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's less on you. That's less that you have to worry mm-hmm. about. He's a coach for their sports team. That's less that you have to worry about. He's cooking. He's doing all these things. He's making your children happy and in turn making you happy. That dollar amount, that check, that you wanted him to give you doesn't amount to all the other things that he's doing.
Right.
Right. But doesn't that add up to be way more than a financial number, though?
Yes.
That
part. But that's
because
what I'm
that's
saying.
So much yeah. more. Think about how much happier he is or with him.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. How much more can you do when you're happy versus when you're upset?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people take that into the consideration. There is no financial amount that can be paid when you're happy.
Correct.
I mean, to match that. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And I think people discount that because literally let me put it like this. So I meet this guy. We hang out. He's great. He doesn't have such a great job. Okay. 6 months later, he is a wonderful human being and he has made me exponentially happier. I am more productive at work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more productive at everything that I'm doing. Is there a number tied to that?
Right.
That's what I think Tyler Perry is putting out there. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that he's putting out. I'd be willing to give less
mm-hmm.
to have a person, you know, come in. He could contribute less. I would do way more in that situation because I'm happy. Not okay. to mention if he's doing extra things like maybe cleaning or, like you said, taking the kids to do whatever. That is huge because, again, time is a premium most times.
100%.
I, at my job, am required. I'm on call all the time. So I can get pulled away at anything to go sit on a computer. Then what happens with the kids?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to have my back. And if that person is doing that, as well as keeping me happy and I'm keeping him happy, his number, his net worth is perfect. Mm-hmm. For my situation, I think that we spend too much time thinking about what if he had more? What if she had more?
Mm-hmm.
How come we can't just stay in the now? This mm-hmm. is what we have right now, and we can build and work toward getting more.
Some men are kept to keep quiet. When we return, we'll talk about real life stories of what being a kept man can look like. Friendships say about you? Are they a toxic cocktail or a healthy brew?
We're not talking as much anymore. I'm not calling you anymore. We're not texting anymore.
Do they encourage growth or are they like weeds around your throat?
I have had the craziest issues with letting people go because I really believe that people can change.
Sometimes people do change, just not with you.
Do they enlighten and enrich you? Or do they drain and defeat you?
Sometimes loving somebody means letting them go. I love you enough to where I'm going to give you the space to transform whatever your process is. I love you enough to recognize that I'm not serving or supporting you in that.
I sat down for a conversation on this topic with my friends who I refer to as the board to analyze the costs, the benefits, and the profound rewards. But sometimes we get a little off track.
That's another conversation, another show, when we drink and the shit we say or the pictures that we send. I'm sorry. Okay. Stay on topic.
But in the end, we always bring it back. Listen to With Friends Like These, Season 3, Episode 6. And after you follow the Poet God podcast on your favorite podcasting app, a quick search of the Poet God on Twitter and Instagram will connect you to just what we have on tap. And if you're not that social, at thepoetgod.com, we got your back.
Add it up.
We were talking about all of these different situations where the whole concept of being a kept spouse, whoever, partner, can spawn out of. When I first came across that concept, it was a very specific situation, very specific to the situation. But basically what it was this guy who considered himself to be a trophy husband. I think that was the name of his Twitter handle. And he was having different relationships. One main one that he was talking to me about in particular with somebody who was an MBA and, you know, living out in LA and so forth. And obviously this person was in a heterosexual public relationship, but he liked to play, you know, on the DL, whatever. And so he fit that role. He was a homie, right? For the public. And they did things together. You know, he'd go to him with some parties and shit as a homie. But what everybody else didn't know is that he had put him up in a condo. He had bought him a car, and it was for the purpose so that when they spend time together away from his other life, he can be who he can do whatever he wants to do over there, and they have their privacy and so forth and that. And he said to me that, you know, this is what he aspires to being a kept man. And this way he told me about all of the benefits. He enjoyed it, so forth and so forth. And he said he did it for a number of years with that individual. And so I had talked to him a lot about that idea, you know, and it was very transactional in some ways that he described, because he talked about all of the stuff that he got. And so in that particular situation, I think it probably really was just about sex, more so than an emotional connection. Because he never said to me that he loved the guy or anything like that, or that there was anything. It was like, you know, I enjoy all of the things that he gives me, and I get to have this lifestyle, and he gets to come over, and we have sex and do whatever, and I keep my mouth shut. And that's what I'm being kept for. And so it was not until like later on, with different people talking about it in different ways, that I heard these different concepts.
I think there are different kinds of kept men, you know, situational.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, in one of my relationships, one of my partners lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of, you know, it was a basic job and he was trying to do something different, I was like, well, instead of going immediately back, take a couple weeks, figure out, you know, what it is you are trying to do, and then figure something out. Figure out a plan based on what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he leaned into that a little too hard.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and, you know, the first few weeks, you know, was okay with me, you know, because basically that's what I told him. Take your time, figure out what it is you want to do, and then go start looking for a job. Well, the looking for a job part never really happened. So again, me being a supportive partner, I didn't say anything, because again, I said, take your time. If I was to go back and do that again, maybe there would be a time limit to that. And even though I said, take a few weeks and figure it out, I don't think that that was enough of a plan, if you will, to say, okay, boom, you start looking for a job on this day.
Yeah.
That's the way I probably should have prefaced it. Okay, on March 1st, you start looking for a job, you know, at that point. You know, you've had enough time to do it. But 6 months later, we're still looking for a job.
Mm.
And so now I was, you know, checking in, you know, like a few times within that 6 months. Okay, well, you know, I put in a job here. But what I found out is that they were really liking not having to do stuff. And with this particular person, I would say, if they had gave more, I might have let it continue.
You mean gave more around?
Like, if did more around the house.
Okay.
Did more, you know, of taking care of me. Because literally, I mean, if you're not taking care of nothing, then you need to be taking care of something. And that something needs to be me.
Right.
And so I look at it like that. You know, I could have extended that, and he could have been a kept man, but he wasn't good enough to be a kept man. I mean, think about it. If I want to keep something, they're going to be doing something that I love.
Right.
Not just waking up when you feel like it, doing what you feel like. But that's what most kept men want to kind of do. But the truth is, that is a job. Mm-hmm. You have now signed up for a job that you're going to please this person, because this person is paying you in keeping you in the lifestyle that in which you've become accustomed.
Right.
That is a job now.
Right.
And I think that... that's the pivot that needs to happen in some of these mindsets. Don't just assume that right. you can just be kept. Look at the job title.
Right.
Look at the job description.
That's
and then figure out that whether that's something you actually want to do. Because like literally, when I approach him, I say, you're going to need to be bending over backwards before you can stay here and not have a job. Guess what? He went and got a job. Because when I started demanding what needed to happen around his house, a whole lot of things changed real quick. Like, so I think man keeping can happen by accident.
Yeah. If you will. I get that. As in being a supportive partner.
Exactly.
It starts that way. Yeah.
Exactly. You don't intend to have it happen, but I could see how it could have continued too,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I was like, oh, I could like this.
Yeah. But that was even one of my thoughts, right? So hearing the part of having a kept man and, you know, I was telling you, I was like, it's a little weird because we think of it. And I think that a lot of times, whether you're queer or not, you still think of it in a heteronormative kind of
yeah.
perspective.
Yeah.
Right. So in me, dating women, I'm like, if I cover the finances of my partner, nobody bats an eye of it, right? Yeah. Because I'm the more masculine one. And it's like, oh, because of these standards, that's your job.
Right.
You're supposed to do it. So for me, it's like, it doesn't necessarily look at me the wrong way. But I just also wonder of like, when that happens, what are these things that you say like, hey, I can keep doing this. This is now, you know, we may have not had this discussion at the beginning, but these are the things that I need you to do in order to continue to be this person.
Yes. Right. And that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about too, because I think that's interesting, because those things can be a multitude of things and a very interesting job description.
I'm telling you, the job description for a kept man can vary.
Right.
Like, number one qualification. Oh, you're going to sex me whenever I want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that's the job description.
Right.
Oh, and you're going to take care of me better than my mom, better than anybody on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the job description. It is almost an impossible job description. But if you want to choose to sit on the couch, then that's the job description you signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody else is in control of everything you do and say. Pretty much. They're paying your way entirely.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting food on the table. Your job is to really follow.
Right.
Because that's what you signed up for. Mm-hmm. You didn't sign up for a voice trying to be a kept person.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally whatever the owner of, well, whatever the bill payer is telling you to do is literally what you need to be doing.
And probably, and I'm thinking about this concept and also thinking about how about the same Tyler Perry situation, because I think some women may feel they don't want the situation. Meaning that, when I say that, I'm meaning that if the guy is not on their level financially, and I'm not talking like, oh, $10,000 difference. I'm talking about somebody's making $100,000 and someone's making $30,000.
Right.
And that woman is feeling like, okay, this is where we are. And I'm in control of everything that we're doing because the finance of the house, cars we're getting. So I don't want this. This is not a situation I want. But they're feeling that the guy could be kept. Meaning that in their mind that the situation that they're in, this guy is getting comfortable from my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And causing resentment in their mindset, not spoken, but it comes out in different ways. And people also sometimes take advantage of stuff.
True.
And are not, the word I'm looking for, they're not motivated in themselves to do things. They need somebody to always be telling them to give stuff. That's a personal trait on the individual,
mm-hmm.
whether you need to be constantly motivated. Somebody, you're not self-motivated to do better. Not that you can't do it, but You're needing somebody to push you constantly. And the person, they can get tiring for somebody who's constantly being a nurturer.
Yeah, because now I'm your manager.
Right.
And 100%.
You're always giving, and like, what are you, because sometimes you might need that to be given to you, mm-hmm. but you'll feel like you're always giving it to that person and they don't have the capability to do it for you.
And I think that's what you were speaking to when you had said, if you're taking care of me mentally,
That's exactly what I'm speaking
yeah.
of. Like, for instance, I think the major principle for me would be, you're taking care of me mentally. So that means that when I come home, I don't really have to think about all of these things, all of these extra things, because you've actually taken care of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you love me. Not because necessarily you're being kept, but because you love me. You care about me. And I think that that's what Tyler Perry is saying. If you've got a man at home that is contributing, he's not sitting on the couch. He is not just doing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the woman that woman was talking
about. Right.
He's not doing that stuff. He is actually taking care of the house. He's taking care of the kids. He's taking care of the bills. He's taking care of you in general. When you come home, dinner's on the table, or he's ordered something and it's ready. It's that kind of thing that I could get into. I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll toss and drive. If you're going to drive me around, I live in Atlanta, Georgia. This traffic is crazy. If you're going to drive me around, if you want to drive me around 100% of the time, you can be kept in my house. Trust me. You can be kept in my house because I would pay a driver to drive me around here. But I think it's that support when you're happy, that loving feeling that he's promoting. If you have that, then don't think about the financial number. The financial number, you're not adding it up correctly anyway, because what he's given can't be quantified with a dollar.
Right.
I just think that it's funny as a whole, even specifically that sort of uproar, right? Because we have conflicting things, and I'm going to bring this together. You have on one side that woman, I bet you would argue up and down for wage equality for women, that women should be paid the same as men, right? Because we are their equal,
right?
So if we look at it that way, and then now let's flip it and say, I'm pretty sure she's okay if a man made significantly more than his wife and she was the kept woman, she would also be very much okay with that situation. So I just feel like in bringing those two, it's like you can't have them both. You can't say, well, it's okay for the man to keep his woman, but a woman can't keep his man, but then say that the woman should still make as much as a man. Like, for me, it feels like you're arguing two opposite points. Mm-hmm. You can't say on one side, women are equal to men, but a woman can't take care of a man, but you expect a man to take care of a woman.
That's true. And I guarantee you, if she had an opportunity to be kept,
running would have been at the front door like, hello.
Exactly. Open it up, walk right in.
Right.
Kept. But and I think it's that mentality that disturbs me.
Thank you for sticking with us thus far and for tuning in to this very first episode of our brand new season. Speaking of episodes, you may have noticed that podcast apps aren't exactly doing a great job of notifying listeners when new episodes drop. No worries. Go to thepoetgod.com, click on the subscribe button, fill out the form, and we'll notify you directly. So go to thepoetgod.com and put notification problems to an end. We'll be right back after these messages.
Someone asked me if I were actually wanting to engage in sexual activity, and I said no, which was a lie, because I was horny. I just didn't want to have sex with that person.
Sometimes we lie because it's tradition.
But who wants to be, who honestly wants to be with a man who you don't respect enough to tell the truth?
Other times because the truth has denied us its permission, giving way to lies of omission.
There is a reason why I don't get on Zoom calls until they know me. I mean, in terms of like showing my face. That is that lie of omission. I need for them to respect me by my voice first before they say, oh, it's a black guy.
Because we won't dare compromise our position.
That is the lie that religiosity, not religion, religiosity has told people.
That's such BS.
Sometimes a lie is born of contrition for a truth that's a thorn.
in our ambitions.
I've never in my old days used to be the type of person who wanted to be lied to. But this is one of those cases where, lie to me.
Listen to episodes 10 and 11, season 3, Sometimes a Lie and Lie to Me, as we unpack the many reasons why we lie. I probably lie most with lies of omission. And I don't feel bad about it. And after you follow the Poet God podcast on your favorite podcasting app, a quick search of the Poet God on Twitter and Instagram will connect you to just what we have on tap. And if you're not that social, at thepoetgod.com, we got your back. Apparently, people love a good read, which is why the Writer's Room is the most popular section on thepoetgod.com by a far margin, indeed. Be sure to check it out. Award-worthy content is what we're all about.
I look at it like this. I think that we've had a lot of issues that were created by slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having the men pulled out of the homes, having, you know, the women, you know, trying to raise these children and then losing those children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that has caused a mental health crisis in Black people that will take millennia to repair.
Absolutely.
Because none of us want to talk about it. None of us really feel like we had a real problem, but we all see it.
Mm-hmm.
We all see it. But it's that elephant in the room that's never talked about. We are all, to some extent, broken, but we don't want to be with anybody who's not broken. And here's the thing. I don't see it that way. I don't. I mean, I don't think you need to go away to fix yourself. In fact, I think I can help fix you and you can help fix me.
Absolutely.
But it's, we don't want that. We want the perfect person to walk in here with no baggage. Well, hell, that's never going to happen.
And in order for that healing, which is what you're talking about, mm-hmm. to happen, there has to be a willingness to be vulnerable. And how do you feel so safe to be vulnerable if the mindset around the relationship is so transactional?
100%.
Well, you can feel. I mean, because everything is about a dollar.
Right.
Everything is about a cent. And I guarantee you, when she was having that conversation or when she was making that video, what she was thinking is, why should I settle for less when I can have so much more? Well,
define more.
If you're happy and in love, what's beyond that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a plane, a mansion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, we pivot to the ultimate finances because we haven't had any.
Yeah.
And I think that that's also a part of the problem.
Yeah.
And talking about the plane and the mansion, they think that because they have that, or that people who have that are happy.
Right.
Right. You know.
But it's just, really, the core question is what quantifies love,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're trying to put a dollar amount on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not it, right? Because think of it. Let's even flip it in a different concept. People that have pets, they love their pets. Their pets do not give them any money.
Right.
If anything, they cost a ton of money.
Right.
Right. But you aren't putting that dollar amount on it. But when you're looking at your partner in this form, you're like, nope, you have to come with a dollar amount.
Exactly. And I would take it even higher. A cat is not even giving you the love back. Look at you and give you the eye like you are the worst thing. And
that's funny.
I'm walking off. I'm done with you. That's but you're pouring money into, I mean, you're scooping kitty litter just like everybody. What? But you can't give a human being the time of day, you know. That point is so huge. It's so huge. You can't give a human being the time of day, but you're gonna get the cat that gave you the eye and maybe even bitch your ass the other day. Everything.
Wow. Yeah.
It's absolutely insane to me sometimes. It's absolutely insane to me sometimes the way we call ourselves human beings, but some of us have absolutely no humanity.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's tough to say it, but I think that I enjoy technology the things that I hate about technology is how it ruins people's mindsets. Mm. Right? Because we all have cell phones, we all have computers, we have access to the internet, and we have access to people across the world where we didn't have that quick form of communication as we did before. But I think that now that we have that, we are further separated from one another than what we were before. Mm-hmm. Because we don't value it the same.
Right.
It's so easy to get to and this information and things of that nature, where I think that people are so skewed and everybody, and I really don't want to say everybody, but a lot of people are just trying to follow what it appears the masses are saying. Mm-hmm. Right. So it is this thing of, you want to have this super huge house. You need to have this kind of car. You need to have this. You need to have that. So work hard to get it, right? And in a woman's perspective, you work hard to get this on your own, but don't get a partner that's not going to help you get that, right? Mm-hmm. So when it comes down to he's making less, you're sacrificing because you should have a partner that could come in and buy you the car that you want instead of you having to buy it for yourself, right? And that's not real. That's mm-hmm. not really what it needs to be, right? Mm-hmm. Again, it goes back to the separation of thinking that love is a dollar amount, but that's what the narrative is. Mm-hmm. That's Valentine's Day.
Right. Pretty much.
It's funny, but that takes you to a place that none of us ever really want to go. Everybody, again, I don't want to say all Black people, but right. Do you get the sense that Black people feel like somebody owes them something?
I would say yes. I think a lot of Black people have different opinions of what is owed to them.
Exactly. So now take that understanding. I'm Black too. I don't owe you ass shit. Okay, the white people owe you, not me. white people owe you, mm-hmm. not me. But we have turned it on ourselves, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And they're right. White people do owe us. I mean, this country was built on our backs, and we all know it. And we still don't get a fair shot.
Mm-mm.
In most cases. And so, with that said, we have a right to feel like people owe us something. But the problem is we've turned it on ourselves as if you too, brother, owe me something. No, brother, right. I don't. I went through the same stuff you went through, and I'm still going through the same stuff you're going through. And until we squash that, we're going to still have those things. I want to be kept.
Mm-mm.
I want more than I should have. I want this mansion, this plane. I want all the things that white people have. And you need to work harder to be with me so we can get those things. And you need to give them to me.
It's interesting to me because as you were saying that, I was thinking a coworker was sharing with me that she was upset because she was having a dialogue with somebody who she had a prior romantic connection with. And because of the prior connection, he felt that he could reach out to her when he needed assistance with whatever. And he was doing that. And she said to him, I haven't heard from you in X, Y, Z amount of time, whatever. Hello. Hi. You know,
right.
Oh, how am I doing? How are you doing? How is this? You know, and also, no, you can't have how much of the dollar amount was he was asking for. And she was telling me that his response was so disgusting. It was as if he was asking her for something that she owed him, and she couldn't get it understood as to why do you think you're entitled to my money? Why was it that you are mad at me for not wanting to give you this amount of money? That's not a small amount of money. And then you're cursing me out and reading me up and down about why you think I'm this and that. But you're asking me for money. I didn't ask you for anything. So I was talking to her and I was like, that mindset blows my mind. But listening to how what you just said.
But do you feel
it's
like
crazy?
Or the better way to say it is, why do you think it's taboo for Black people to think of a man being kept where it's not as taboo for our white counterparts.
They call it sugar daddy, right?
Sugar
daddy, sugar mama.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sugar mama, so to speak. Right. So again, why do you feel like it's so taboo, like in Black society for a Black woman to be willing and want to keep her man in such a way versus a white woman doing it? Because we've seen it. We've seen it in the limelight. We've seen it in the media.
I think your point is valid, but I also think too that the mindset of the man, I think in that situation, the mindset of the white man is different than the mindset of the Black man in my thought process. Meaning the ego comes in, the whole thing that, as you're talking about, I should be this person. I was doctrinated that this, I was told, this is how I grew up, this is how we are supposed to be. So I think that concept kind of creates the mindset where it creates problems for them because they feel that they're supposed to...
Like it goes against their definition right. of who they're supposed to be, right. of a man.
Meaning that it may be more accepted in the white society because it's fine. They don't have that... Nobody's pushing them from the generation to generation. But I think for us, it's something that we've been kind of indoctrinated that this is how we should be. True, fair or not. But I think that partly could be in play.
Hmm. I'm not going to say that it's not taboo in white society because it is. You know, for the man not to be, you know, working, it has its stigmas. However, I think the slavery part of it is what makes it taboo for us. Now, somebody's going to say, oh, you got that lazy guy on your couch.
Right.
Mm. It's optics for us more so than anything else. Because you could be happy with that guy on your couch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But because somebody on the outside said something about the guy on the couch, now you're not.
Right.
So it's all about optics. And I think that the reason it's more acceptable when white people do it is because it's not really talked about. Like, for instance, I don't think when Christy told me that her husband was a DJ, that she was going to think that I was going to say, oh, so he's kind of kept. Right. But that's what comes to mind. I mean, mm-hmm. he's kind of kept.
Tell them.
Now, she's a director.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's a DJ. So she is obviously the breadwinner here.
Correct.
And it's interesting how he will take care of the kids during the daytime. He basically, you know, like if we're on a video call, you may see him come and grab the kids. You know, like, but that's his daily duties. I mean, he is with the kids, he's picking them up, he's dropping them off, and all of those things while she is handling her work business. And literally, she works, you know, I get emails from this woman at 12 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
Which, so it is obviously a situation where they're in it together, and he is obviously doing what he's supposed to do, but he is somewhat kept.
Right.
I think when you go back to the point, I think when the biggest point that you made, I think, is when they're in it together.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. But when you go into the relationship and then somebody's constantly, what are you doing today? What's going on? Okay, you look for a job today. What's your plans for the next 5 years? What are your steps? What are you going to do? If somebody's constantly telling you that all the time, but you don't even try to do it, and for them, it's like something feeling the person that is not on the same level, it may feel like they're like somebody's like trying to tell them what to do, mm-hmm. or train them or tell them what to do. And that can create animosity. But I think if both partners are in it together and they're all in agreement, like if he's fine with what she's doing as far as money and everything, and she's fine with him and the kids, but they're all in it together and everybody's okay, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But I think it's when it's problematic is where there are issues internally where people have issues and it's unspoken.
Yeah.
And it creates the problems. It comes out in different ways. I think that's where the honesty they don't always be honest with each other. Well, I'm feeling that we should have a conversation about what the plans are, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to just create this feeling of being upset when I see you every single time. We don't have good relationships. We just short with each other. If that always constantly happens, then it creates problems in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I think what's so funny, because Tyler Perry sparked this conversation. I don't know if you guys actually, if you all seen, he has that movie Acrimony.
Yeah. So, you know what? Yeah.
So Acrimony fits this conversation.
It really does. Now that I think about it.
And it even rolls on your point of this outside narrative, right?
Yeah.
Because, and forgive me, I'm terrible with names. So Taraji P. Henson was married to this guy. They had met from college.
Yep.
And he didn't come from anything. She happened to have finances because of her mother and so on. And her sisters were the ones that were always like, your man is good for nothing. Mm-hmm. He sits on his ass. He's not doing anything, X, Y, and Z. And she was like, no, but I love him.
Right.
And you saw like the way their relationship was amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whatever he didn't fill in financially, he gave it to her spirit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Right. But her sisters just kept chiming in.
Because they didn't have something.
They definitely, right. And they did, their men weren't like him in that sense, in contributing into into emotional.
Let me tear you down.
Right.
Because you're happy, but I'm not. And I got a whole man over here. They've got the real job.
Correct.
How could you be happy?
How dare you be happy? That's literally what it was.
But then it was even funnier because then when she left, because remember what had him financially struggling was because he was building to something greater.
Right.
It wasn't like he was purposely like, oh, you have money? Let me just sit up here and do nothing. Right. You go ahead and do what you're doing.
Right.
He was building towards something, but still building her soul and making her happy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, leave him. She left him. He made it big because he sold whatever it was that he was working on. And then they turned around and was like, bitch, that's your money. Don't get your money. Because you was with that man. You helped lift him up. And it was just like, you know, when I first heard him say it, I didn't think of anything about it. But as our conversation went on, I'm like, this is kind of part of that.
Yeah,
like, he made a movie to show you guys like happiness wasn't this dollar amount.
Mm.
And even though he did get to a dollar amount, she was happy the whole time. But it was this outside world that forced her to think that love that she had wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dollar amount that was going to make her happy. And then in chasing for the dollar amount, I think if I recall right, he even gave her money. He was like,
he was like, you're right. Substantial amount.
Yeah. He was like, you know what? You're right. I wouldn't be here.
If it wasn't for you.
Gave her the dollar amount. You know what she wasn't? Was happy.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Because she wanted the love she gave away because of these people in her business. And I think that's peer pressure, that pressure that you get from the outside where people, well, first of all, you have to be careful of who is talking in your ear because everybody talking in your ear doesn't want the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They want what you possibly have in their space. And so that's the first thing. You need to be careful about who's in your ear. But the things that people are saying, if you know it's not true, then why does it even matter? You know, that's the thing that I don't understand. There is nobody that can come into my world and tell me about my situation and make me feel different about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. But like you were talking about earlier, they care so much about optics. And it's sad that you're letting other people outside of your situation. And even sometimes it's not even as close as family. It's people in general. Like
strangers.
Strangers that you.
Because we're more concerned about our pride and our ego in most cases than we are about being happy, about owning who we are.
Yeah.
And that's a struggle for me because one, I think it has to do with loving yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell Akil all the time, you know, I love myself so much right now. I barely have room for anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This relationship is so wonderful to me that I'm not openly seeking anything because I'm so happy with me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's the problem. A lot of people are not happy with themselves. And so when they go out and find love, they're looking for themselves in this partner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and you're placing all of your hopes and your mm-hmm. dreams on this person that you don't know, that you just met. And now you're speeding up the timeline. You're projecting yourself into the future. Now you're married. Well, can you take the first step first?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, slow down a bit.
Right.
Realize where you are. Because in order to get to that place that Todd Perry was talking about, you got to make sure you're okay with this person in general, whether this person will respect you or love you. But before you can even get to that, you really have to love and respect yourself. And I think that that is a problem, not just with Black people, but with people in general.
What have you gained for putting a price on what can't be tamed? What did you get for the man that you kept? Maybe you let him slip away, along with some qualities you have yet to find again until this day. Maybe he was the one that couldn't stay, that couldn't let himself be happy with you, all because of what his dollars couldn't do. Maybe it was all wrong from the jump because love wasn't present at the stump. And if your values are all junk, well, it's all for the dump.
I'm Mikhail Johnson, and this is the Poet God. Thank you for listening.